Well, last year, a young Saudi Arabian Christian woman by the name of Fatima had her tongue cut out and was burned to death by a close member of her family. Her crime? Her family had discovered that she'd left Islam and converted to Christianity. Those horrifying actions don't just occur in the Middle East either. A woman from Great Britain has moved house 45 times since she turned 16. And the reason? Her Muslim family have vowed to kill her because she converted to Christianity. And so she's permanently on the run to keep away from her own family. Now in this psalm, David is being pursued by people sent by King Saul. King Saul put a contract out on David, but why? He was jealous of David's military victories against the enemies of King Saul. David's crime? He was a successful servant of God. Now in verse 2, as we've been reminded, we see that David doesn't want God to sit in judgment over him because he recognises his own shortcomings and that everybody else is in the same position. Well, let's have a look at verses 3 and 4 and see what his situation was. The enemy pursues me. He crushes me to the ground. He makes me dwell in darkness like those long dead. So my spirit grows faint within me. My heart within me is dismayed. So we find now that David is on his last legs. He says there about being in darkness. Now that may be emotionally or spiritually. It's quite likely that it's also the fact that he's hiding in the backs of caves where people might not find him and he can survive there. But things are certainly not good for him and he's not very confident about surviving. But what's David's response to this very dangerous situation? We read verses 5 and 6. I remember the days of long ago. I meditate on all your works and consider what your hands have done. I spread out my hands to you. My soul thirsts for you like a parched land. He remembers, he meditates on, and he considers their history with God. David remembers how God created the world, how God called Abraham out from another people. And then he protected Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and their descendants. He remembers how God had rescued his people from slavery in Egypt, how he had brought them safely to the promised land, how he had been with David when David was busy fighting so that he survived. God had shown to David that he could be trusted to care for those who served him and believed in him. So we go on. We have a look at the next few verses. Answer me quickly, O Lord. My spirit faints with longing. Do not hide your face from me, or I'll be like those who go down to the pit. Now, going down to the pit is David speak for going to hell. So he says, do not hide your face from me, or I'll be like those going to hell. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love. How's he going to find out about God's unfailing love? Well, if he read his Bible every morning, he might find about it. He didn't have a Bible. They had Old Testament scriptures, but he'd heard them plenty of times, and probably when he went to sleep at night, he would have gone to sleep having thanked God for keeping him alive for another day, and he might have been thinking about those scriptures, and so when he woke up the next morning and thanked God for having brought him to another day, he might have remembered some of those things about how God could be trusted. Knowing the faithful nature of God, David asks to be rescued. He not only seeks to be rescued from his enemies, but he asks God to lead him into faithful service for God. And then we have a look at the last couple of verses. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. In seeking rescue from the immediate danger, David wants the glory to go to God. I find the last line to be a very powerful one. He says, for I am your servant. David is the servant of God. And it's on the basis that David is the servant of God that he seeks deliverance from the threat that he's under at the time. Now, when we find ourselves in strife for trusting in God, we can confidently pray for God to strengthen us, to deliver us from the evil one or from those who are working on behalf of the evil one. And we find that that happens in many parts of this world. I gave you a couple of examples from Muslim situations where people are under tremendous threats. Now, that's in lots of countries. And we don't appreciate some of these things. I was reading last night about in Egypt. If you move out of Islam there, you can't change your religion on your ID card, which means all your descendants are still counted as Muslims, even though you might be a Christian. You can't inherit things. Your marriage can be made invalid. They can say, all right, you're no longer Muslim, so you can't be buried in the Muslim cemetery. Now, seeing the Muslim cemetery is the only one the locals can get buried in, that means you can't get buried locally. There are all sorts of problems. There are all sorts of ways of terrorising people. And it's not only Muslims that do it either. We find that in the state of Orissa in India, that militant Hindus there have decided that they're only going to have Hindus in that state. And so they've been killing Christians. They've been burning churches, they've been burning houses, they've driven people away from the villages. Some of them have fled great distances, others have fled into the jungle, where they've got a little bit of safety but no food. It's a dreadful situation, and the local police are doing nothing about it. That was happening last year, went on for a couple of months, the really bad part. That was Hindus. We've got other parts where Buddhists are doing it. In North Korea, it's communists that are cracking down on Christians. And there they put them in labour camps until they eventually die. That's their way of solving the problem over there. We find people in many countries that are picking on Christians. And we read in the Bible of taking our cross. Jesus took his cross. Why did he take his cross? He took his cross to get to where he was going to be crucified. And when we take up our cross, that means that we're likely to be heading for death for God as well. In Australia, it's a very subtle way of hiding it. We think we're in a Christian country. We're not. We're in a humanist country where they think that humans are more important than God. And they sort of hide everything under a thin veneer, so you think it's Christian, but it's really not, and we can be easily led astray. Our situation, though, is better than David's situation, because as we remember the days of long ago, meditating on all God's works and considering what his hands have done, we remember that about 2,000 years ago, God sent his only son. When did he send him? When do we remember that? Gee, it's a new year. We forgot it was Christmas, didn't we? That's why we were happy at Christmas. Because God had done something about our situation. He sent his only son. Sent him for a purpose, to die a terrible death, so that we might be rescued from the results of judgment. David feared judgment because he wasn't perfect. But we don't need to fear judgment, because we know that the death of Jesus pays any penalty that might be due to those who put their faith in Jesus. Remember John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. What does believing in the Son mean? It means trusting that Jesus died to save you and me from spending eternity in hell. After the day of judgment, we look forward to spending eternity in heaven. And we can do that if we believe in Jesus. Now, what does believing in Jesus mean? It means becoming his servant, really. Putting ourselves under the protection of all-powerful God. Now, that saving power was demonstrated in the resurrection of Jesus. We know that Jesus died on the cross. Plenty of historians have written that down, not just in the Bible. We know he was buried because the Jews saw to it that he was buried in a cave and the stone was sealed over it. Days later, he was resurrected. How do we know he was resurrected? Well, his body wasn't in the grave. They couldn't produce the body, but more than that, he appeared to hundreds of his followers over a period of 40 days. It wasn't just their imaginations. And they turned from being people scared of the local authorities to being people who couldn't contain their happiness, telling others about Jesus who had risen from the dead. And quite a lot of them died because they did that. They didn't do it to make money or anything like that. It was dangerous work for them, but they couldn't get over the excitement. Now, that is all clearly recorded in the New Testament, and that's great for us. Now, remember the commandment that we have in the communion service, the commandment that Jesus quoted from Deuteronomy, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. In this new year, it'd be a good time, if you haven't done it already, to turn to believing in Jesus. Turn to trusting him as your loving master, so that when you strike the rough patches in life, and if you haven't been hailed on, or if you haven't had close relatives die, or some other thing like that, you're going to strike a rough patch, sooner or later, then like David, you can say the verses from 8 on in Psalm 143. Let the morning bring me word of your unfailing love, for I have put my trust in you. Show me the way I should go, for to you I lift up my soul. Rescue me from my enemies, O Lord, for I hide myself in you. Teach me to do your will, for you are my God. May your good spirit lead me on level ground. For your name's sake, O Lord, preserve my life. In your righteousness, bring me out of trouble. In your unfailing love, silence my enemies. Destroy all my foes, for I am your servant. We know that our Master will care for us, because we know that God keeps his promises.